this time to formally greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I greet Mamoruti. And I thank Enale Moruti for giving me this opportunity for me to come and share the word of the Lord with you. Hallelujah. I greet all the pastors in the house. I greet all the leaders in their different categories. And I greet everyone else. Hallelujah. All the sons in the house. You are welcome to the house of the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimony of the Lord. But I am in much trembling and weakness. That's how I'm feeling this morning. I don't have intelligent words. I don't have anything that I can say to you that can change your life. But I'm trusting that the one who sent me, he can say something to all of us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The title of the message this morning, the dangers of lack of discipline. The dangers of lack of discipline. That is the title of our message this morning. We are going to be looking at a character from the Old Testament. This one figure in the Bible whose life is an epitome of a lack of discipline. So I want us to have this mind before we go into the story. That when we read the Old Testament, when we read about those characters and those figures in the Bible, we are looking at examples. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's my leader.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go Hebrew ra khavarana bazelwana.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, as we read the Old Testament, we see stories of people that sometimes when we read them, we don't know what to do with them. And we don't even know how to interpret them. But the New Testament says, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, this is how we need to look at the Old Testament. It reads, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the age has come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when we study these biblical creatures, the biblical characters, we are getting lessons, we are getting instructions, and we are also getting warnings. It also emphasizes in the book of Romans chapter 15 verse
4.
It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, yeah, it repeats
itself.
It's a repetition of saying, when we read the Old Testament, it is these stories are written for us to learn something from them. So, what is the lesson for today? The lesson for today is about lack of discipline. How lack of discipline can place a limit on your destiny. Because let me start here. I want us all to all have an understanding that all of us are destined for greatness. The very fact that you are born again, that you are a child of God, there is a great destiny upon your life. Because God has predestined you to be conformed to the image of Christ. So that in and of itself is defined as greatness. There is no other image. There is no other copy that we can imitate apart from that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we need to have an understanding that we all have a great destiny ahead of us. But there is something that can put a limit on that destiny. Let us look at Genesis chapter 49. The book of Genesis chapter 49, we are going to look at Jacob speaking over his sons. And you are going to focus on one of the sons of Jacob, whose life epitomizes lack of discipline. Let's look at Genesis chapter 49, from verse 1. The Bible says, "And Jacob called his sons and said, gather together, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Verse 2 says, gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Verse 4. Unstable as water. Underline that word. Unstable as water. You shall not excel. Because you went up to your father's bed. Then you defiled. He went up to my couch." So now, Jacob is talking to his sons. This is a moment of legacy. This is a moment where a father is calling all of his sons together to say, assemble you before me. And now allow me to tell you what is to come into your life. Because now, as a father, it is your responsibility to bless your sons. So he's now about to bless all of his sons. He's calling all of them to sit down. And now he begins with the firstborn. He talks with Reuben. He says, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. Now, in this text, he begins to give Reuben a diagnosis of himself. In other versions, in the American Standard Version, it says, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. So there is the potential that was lying in Reuben. But we read, when we read and continue with the story, we see now Jacob is turning. He's saying, you are unstable as water. And therefore you shall not excel. What do we learn from this? Our potential does not automatically mean that we are going to succeed. Hallelujah. Because in verse 3 he says, you are preeminent in dignity. You have stature. And you are also preeminent in power. You are gifted. You are talented. You have these abilities that God has placed inside of you. But there's one thing about you. You are unstable as water. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it comes back to us. We need to examine the fact that we know that we have potential. The fact that we know that we are gifted does not automatically mean that we are going to fulfill our destiny. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we are unstable, when we don't have discipline, we can place a limitation on that which God has predestined for us. You know, the plans of God are so big. And he has already done his part concerning those plans. What's left is for all of us to understand those plans, to embrace them, and to align ourselves with those plans. And once we are aligned with those plans, then we can be sure that we are on a path to fulfilling destiny. So let me make this point. Destiny fulfillment is not automatic. There are things that we need to do on our part to ensure that our destiny is fulfilled. So what is it about Reuben? The Bible says unstable as water. Let us examine that. What does it really mean? When we break that word down, it is taken from a Hebrew word that means to boil over. To boil over with passion. To boil over with desires. It gives us a picture of a pot that is on a stove or on fire. That is boiling. And as it boils, it begins to spill over the pot. That's what Jacob gave Reuben as a diagnosis. To say, what is causing you not to excel? Is that you are boiling over with passions. You are boiling over with lust. And those desires, if you are not able to hold them, if you are not able to restrain them, they are going to place a limit on that which you were destined to become. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there are many desires in each and every single one of us. Legitimate desires. But if we allow them to boil over, they can place a limit on our destiny. What are the examples of those desires? The first one is status. We have a desire to be known. We have a desire to be recognized. We have a desire for money. We have a desire for power, for influence. And we have a desire for sex. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm talking to real human beings.
So
those are the things that are within us. That if they are not tamed, if they are not restrained, they can cause us, even if we are destined for greatness, they can cause us to fail. Hallelujah. Imagine. God has called you and you have this desire for status. You have this desire for this high life that has nothing to do with where God wants to take you. You are going to self-sabotage. Because every time God calls you to a place and sends you somewhere, you are going to vet that place against your status. You are saying, I'm not going to that place. It's beneath me. It's below my standard. So if you have an uncontrollable desire for status, you cannot fulfill destiny. Hallelujah. Is it clear? We are in a school of destiny this morning. We are studying destiny. And we are looking at the life of Reuben. And also again, if you have uncontrollable desire for money, if you are greedy for money, you cannot fulfill destiny. Hallelujah. If your heart is governed by the love of money, you cannot fulfill destiny. Because every time God sends you somewhere, you are going to look at what's in it for me. You are going to look at what is it that you are going to gain. You are going to use the local terminology in our politics. When you enter into a position, all you can think about is how, where you are going to get money. And imagine, God has trusted you with people, a human soul, and you cannot see them for what they are. You can only see them as tools to enrich yourself. You cannot fulfill destiny if you have an uncontrollable desire for money. And also if you have an uncontrollable desire for power, you want to have influence, you want your voice to be heard, you want people to listen to you and to obey you, you want to lord over people, it is not so among us. When the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us about leadership, he says the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord over them. But it is not so among us. He who wants to lead must serve. That's the pathway of leadership. You are born as a leader, but you cultivate your leadership through service. So if you are for power, if you want to control people, if you want to rule over people, leadership is not for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Also, if you have an uncontrollable desire for sex, you are going to place a limit on your destiny. Because as a brother or as a sister, you are going to be involved in fornication. And the Bible tells us about fornication. That if you commit fornication, You are sinning against your own body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are not only sinning against God, but you are also sinning against your own body. You are violating the rhythm that God has placed within you. You are violating the beat that God has placed within you to go in a certain direction. Because if you stumble like that, you begin to lose confidence. You begin to hide away from God. You begin to, be shy before the Lord. Because you are not right with him. Something in you says, you are not worthy to stand here. Even when you come in the presence of children of God, their presence somehow, it condemns you. You feel like they are judging you. When they begin to speak about holiness and about purity, you feel like they're talking about you. You begin to distance yourself from the people of God. And as a result, the presence of God, it dries up in your life. And when you are far from God, it's obvious you won't be able to fulfill anything that he has called you to do. Even in marriage, when you have uncontrollable desire for sex, you will be involved in adultery. You will be involved in extramarital affairs. When God sends you to minister to people of the opposite sex, you see potentials. And that can place a limit on what God intends to achieve with your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we learn that just from that word, unstable as water, that when we are unable to discipline ourselves, when we are unable to restrain ourselves, we will self-destruct. When we are not disciplined, the enemy does not have to attack us. We become our own worst enemies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We become our own worst enemies when we are unable to discipline ourselves. Let us look at Proverbs 25:28 and see what the Bible says about lack of self-control. Proverbs 25:28. Look at what it says. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Hallelujah. So when you are not able to restrain yourself, you are like a city that is broken down. There is so much treasure in you. Just like in a city. There are so many beautiful treasures within a city. But if there are no walls around the city, if there is no self-control, the treasures are vulnerable. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are exposed and they are vulnerable. They stand to be stolen by passers-by. So what this verse is saying to us, is saying the protection, the security of the treasures of God within us is self-control, self-discipline. I know I'm not coming with a sweet message. But this is necessary. It is truly necessary. Because we are living in times of so many distractions. And we don't normally take stock of where we are and where we are going. We are not cognizant of what self-control and lack of discipline can do in our lives. So from time to time, the Lord will have to remind us that a man who has no control over his spirit is like a city that is broken down, that has no walls. Think about the treasures of God, the gift of the Spirit that God has placed within us, and how much our lack of discipline and our lack of self-control is limiting how we can be able to use those gifts. We are not able to pray the way we are supposed to pray because we don't have self-control. We are pulled into many different directions because we have no self-control. And as a result, we end up losing what God has entrusted us with. Let us also look at Proverbs 16:32. It says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Okay, still looking for it. Let me give you some moment to find it. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32.
Proverbs 16, the man 32.
It says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So what this verse is telling us is that a person with self-control is better than an overachiever without self-control, because their success is going to swallow them up. Hallelujah, do we get it? If you have self-control, you are better than a person who has achieved many things, who has taken a territory, and the territory is now going to take them. Because what does the Bible say? Our first domain of rule is this person. I cannot rule in the city if I cannot rule this person.
Amen.
I cannot have influence over the city if I cannot govern myself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we need to make sure that we look at our lives. We look at areas where we do not have discipline. And we begin to address those areas. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us look at the signs that we can see for us to recognize that we are not disciplined. These are some of the signs. They are not all. They are not conclusive. The first one, The sign that you are not disciplined.
Letshwao la gore wena o tlhoka maitshwaro.
It's procrastination.
Ke go diega.
Procrastination. You are always putting off important things for later.
Wena o bia dilo ore ke tla dira kana morago.
When you are supposed to do something, you are always postponing. That is a sign that you don't have discipline. Hallelujah, we are together this far.
Amen.
Number two, the sign that you don't have discipline, it's lack of routine. You are always all over the place. You don't have a clear plan for the day. Like, this is my normal day. This is how my day goes. You need to have a routine. Because a routine holds you accountable. If you don't have any routine, there won't be consistency. And we remember from our previous teachings that the principle of spiritual growth is consistency. So without a routine, you won't be able to master anything. You know, if you want to become best at something, you have a routine that you follow consistently. You do it every single day. And it gives a certain tone about yourself and about your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number three, a sign that you don't have discipline. Impulsive decision making. To make a decision on the spur of the moment. I know my sophisticated friends. They like using these words. Let's be spontaneous. Why do you always have to be so rigid? One of the reasons why people are not able to master their crafts is because they cannot make a decision and follow through it. They can't make a decision and be firm on that decision. They just decide to do anything. They are taken by the trends. They are taken by the ebbs and the flows of life. When the wind is going this direction, they just go with the wind. They make all sorts of decisions without thinking about the consequences. If you are that person, that is a symptom of a lack of discipline. Let's go to number four. Inability to set and to stick to goals. Inability to set and to stick to goals. If you have a financial goal, that at the end of the year, I want to have saved this much because I want to use it for this particular thing. And then, mabakano, it's all over. And you are taking that money, going to that place, meeting people's emergencies, and you are the hero of people with your money. That is a sign that you are not disciplined. You can't be anybody's hero.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you must have financial goals. That even if somebody's story is so touching, if it is not within your ability, it's okay if you cannot help. There are almost 8 billion people on earth. If you are not the one who is supposed to help that person, or who cannot help, God God is not out of options. There can be somebody else. So you must not feel bad that you were not able to help. Come on, Bazalwane, be free. But mostly we are manipulated because of our faith.
But
I've arrived
here as a child of God and you refuse to help.
The Bible says you are cursed. You cannot place your trust on human beings. Teach that person to trust in God for finances and to follow the principles of God concerning finances. You would have helped them for their entire life instead of just rescuing them from just an emergency. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know that's not popular, but I have to say it. Number five. Another sign that you don't have discipline is that you are frequently running late. You are frequently running late.
Every day,
if they say we are going to meet at 8 o'clock,
Mr. Quarter past.
You are always late.
Every day,
and you don't see anything wrong with it.
And
the funny part about people who are always late is that they always wake up before other people. You know, they are always up, they are always about doing this and that, and by the time they are supposed to leave, they don't leave. They always find something to do in the house. They always find something else to do because they don't have straight priorities. If you have committed yourself to meet a person at 8 o'clock, let that take priority in your schedule.
Don't mix matters.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do what you said you are going to do. Let it come first. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number six. Lack of persistence in the face of difficulty. Lack of persistence in the face of difficulty. In other words, you give up easily. You are that person. If it gets tough, you are the first one to bail out. You cannot fulfill destiny without endurance. Because on the path of destiny, there are many obstacles. There are many hurdles for you to skip over. And without discipline, you won't be able to stand and to have staying power. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go to number seven. The inability to say no. If you cannot say no, it's a sign that you don't have discipline. You must be able to say
You have to say no.
The power of God or the grace of God that saves all humankind has appeared unto all of us, teaching us to say no to ungodliness. So we must be able to say no. We can't always be yes, 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 and agreeing to everything. Because you don't have a stance. You don't have any principles that are guiding you. Let me tell you something. If you are going to be a leader that is effective, from time to time, you are going to have to make unpopular decisions. And people are going to always want to come to you and try to sway you this way and that way. You must be able to say, no, we are not moving. We are pursuing this thing until the end. Number 8. Always looking for motivation to get things done. You cannot decide and be committed to doing something. You want someone to stir you up before you can do something. You are always looking for motivation before you can do anything. That is a sign that you don't have discipline. If you are disciplined, you don't have to feel like doing it. You Nike, you just do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then number 9. This one.
Hey, you're going to beat me up.
Always borrowing.
Hey, laddie, maman.
Always borrowing.
Laddie, ma.
There is a sign that you don't have discipline. If wena o manga di meng.
Wena, if you are always borrowing.
Every time, nkadime this, nkadime that, nkadime this, nkadime that. It's a sign that you don't have discipline. And then number 10. The last one, it's giving into temptations. When it is easy for you to fall into every single temptation, it's a sign that you don't have discipline. Now let me, I can't leave it there. I can't leave the message there. I must provide you with tools that you can use to develop self-control and self-discipline. There are a few biblical principles that are going to help us to navigate the path of being disciplined. Let us go to the book of Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians chapter 5. We are going to start at verse
16.
Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So Paul here is saying that there is a conflict that goes on within all of us between the Spirit and the flesh. They are always contrary to one another. They are always looking to get our attention. And the solution for that, for you to get victory, As if you walk in the Spirit. So that is principle number one. If you want to develop self-control, you walk in the Spirit. So that you will not fulfill the desires or the lusts of the flesh. You are not going to be governed by your emotions. Your emotions will not boil over. Because you will be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So it continues on to say, verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then from 22 to 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So for us to have self-control, we must yield ourselves under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We must allow Him to be the captain. And I can promise you, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are going to be excellent in all you do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two, if you want to cultivate discipline, you must exercise control over your body. Exercise control over your body. And the scripture for that is 1 Corinthians. Chapter 9 from verse 24. From chapter 9, from verse 24.
9:24.
It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now, it says in
26,
therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but what do I do? I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying, you are not qualified by your preaching. You are not qualified by your wise sayings. You are qualified by your ability to discipline this body. To allow this body to be influenced and to be governed by the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is what he says. He says, I discipline this body and I bring it into subjection. So that's what we need to do. I was in a meeting during the week. We had a workshop with an advocate who represents the Department of Education on legal matters. So he was telling us about himself. How uncompromising he is. That he cannot get promoted by his political principles because he is uncompromising. And one way of ensuring that he cannot compromise is that he avoids eating people's food.
Amen.
But he is saying to us, If you allow a person
to
feed you,
they
can control you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So he says, every time he goes to any workshop, any meeting, he does his business. He does his presentation. And when he is done doing that, he does not mingle with anyone. He leaves before they offer him anything.
Mm. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there is a way of disciplining yourself. Even if he is hungry, he will not eat. Let's move on to number three. Eliminate distractions and destructive habits. If you want to cultivate discipline, you must eliminate distractions and all destructive habits. I cannot do better than what Murudi did, Hannah, a preacher for the first time this year. But let's just read the verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So one thing about our Lord Jesus Christ is that he was focused. He knew what he was born to do. And he was not distracted. That's why the Bible says we should look unto him as our example, because he did not allow anything to distract him. When he decided to do anything, nothing would hinder him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number four, how to cultivate self-discipline. This is funny. Mind your business. If you want to be disciplined, mind your own business. Don't look at other people. Don't compare yourself with anyone. Focus on your own things. And in case you were not aware,
if you were not aware that it is there in the scripture,
it's there. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse
11.
At least it's there.
1
Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. It says that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. So it's very clear. If you want to excel in life, don't be concerned about other people. Look at your own life and begin to focus ahead. Let's look at another verse in this category. Apostle Peter in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4.
Apostle Peter,
chapter 4, verse 15. First Peter chapter 4, verse 15, it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. You cannot be a busybody if you want to fulfill destiny. You cannot follow every gossip to know about other people's lives. When are you going to have time to introspect? To look at your own self. To look at your own limitations. And to find ways of how God can help you to overcome those limitations. But you cannot do that if you are constantly in other people's matters. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number five. If we ought to cultivate discipline, we must pursue the calling of God with absolute focus. Pursue the purpose of God for your life with absolute focus. Let's read the book of Philippians chapter 3. Verse 12. Philippians 3 verse 12. It says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me.
Amen.
Verse 13 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you set your mind like a, you set your eyes like a flint on that which God has called you to do. And you pursue it. You become preoccupied with what God has called you to do. And you run after it. You forget your past achievements. You forget your past failures. You are always looking for something fresh. You can't have one testimony, 1994. There's so much more to find in God. So all the time, if you are a person of destiny, if you are on the path of destiny, the power of God, it will sponsor your every move. And you will see traces of Him all around you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So forget yesterday. Set your focus on that which lies ahead in God. The last one, number six. If you want to cultivate discipline, endure difficulties and live by principles. You endure difficulties and you live according to principles. Let us look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2.
2
Timothy chapter 2 from verse
3.
This is what it says. You therefore must endure hardship.
Wena
as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Mm,
I know, sometimes Mudimu, this year,
you know, sometimes we say, Mudimu, this year, I don't want to be a soldier.
Hey, I've suffered a lot. I've suffered enough.
Mm.
But if you are on a path of destiny, you must know and remember what the Lord has said to us. He said, in this world, you will have many tribulations. So he promised us that
there are tribulations in life. But
he says, take heart, because I have overcome.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So challenges will be there. Difficult situations will be there. But you must endure them as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 5, it says, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to rules. Unless he competes according to principles. One man of God likes to say, we walk by common sense, but we run by principles. Walking. Anybody can do walking. But not everyone can run and become an athlete. It requires principles. So in your life, if you are running on the path of destiny, find out the principles that you need to adhere to, that you need to abide by and follow, for you to be able to make foolproof of your destiny. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Rafaela Honafa for today.
Hallelujah.